Good morning, church. Good morning, everybody. Morning. Hope you guys got an extra hour of sleep. No, you didn't. You got an extra less. Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Just go to bed early. It helps. So thank you so much for worshiping with us. I know how hard it could be just waking up an extra hour early. My name is Solomon, and I'm your host today. Just a quick note about our church. What it is, it's just amazing just being here because there's a true focus on something. Because our church is about leading people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus. And so I ask you, if today's your first day worshiping with us, we just want to say welcome to church in Toronto. Yeah, welcome. Yeah, welcome. Welcome. Woo! Yeah, that's that. Yeah. Today's your first day. Yeah, welcome. And like, you know, this is a place where you can come and just come as you are and just be yourself in the presence of a God who loves you and who knows you and who is able to transform you. Now, one thing I just want to say today also is that if this has been your home for years, then welcome home. It's good to see everyone again. Yeah, sometimes we miss each other over the week, so it's good to see us. One thing I want to do just before I go into my usual routine is I want to introduce Olivia Brinksman up here. It's so weird. Yeah, come on, Liv. It's so weird saying Olivia Brinksman. Right. It's so formal. I normally just like to say Liv. So I want to introduce Liv up here. She is our social media leader. She's been, you know, her and Jazzy has been doing amazing work on social media, just posting and just capturing what life is like at CIT and just putting it up there on those social media platforms. Not devices, right? Not devices. Social media platforms. As you can tell, I'm not really good with social media, but I'm gonna let her take the lead on this. Yeah.
Thanks, Solomon. Hi, everybody. My name is Olivia. For those of you who don't know me, if we haven't met, please come up, introduce yourself. I would love to meet you. I'm just here to give a little insight into our social media, which includes our Instagram and our Facebook. So you can see those are our handles right there. So it's at Church in Toronto. Very simple. You know, the reason why we're doing this is for a specific reason. And, you know, we want to reach people here at Church in Toronto. And one of our pillars is evangelism. And, you know, we believe that through social media that we can do this. So can I get just a hands up? Who here has an Instagram account? Okay, good amount. Who here has a Facebook account? Okay, a little bit more. Who here has both? Put both hands up. There we go. Awesome. So, you know, we are in this age of social media. And, you know, as a church, we really believe that through social media, we can begin to reach wider and be able to reach people. And, you know, we want to show people who are coming to our Instagram, who are going to our Facebook, the amazing community that we have here at CIT. I think, you know, a lot of us can say that we are so blessed to have such an amazing, supportive community. I mean, we want to be able to show that to people when they're going to our website. A lot of times, the first thing that you do is you check for where are we located? And the second thing is you want to see photos. You want to see photos of the faces that are here at CIT. So that when you come, you can see familiar faces, you have an idea of what is gonna be happening. So that's really what we wanna do. We just wanna convey our heart as a church. And so you can see those are some amazing photos. We have our women right in the middle. I love that photo. And some other photos as well. So I just really hope that as a church, we can really, you know, go on this journey together and really be able to, you know, work as a community to be able to reach our wider community beyond. So there are four things that I have for you to do. So the first one is follow. And this is as simple as it is. You go to Church in Toronto, either on your Instagram account or Facebook, and you click that blue button, usually it is, or you click that like button. And that will just help us to be able to reach more people. And the second one is like. It's as simple as it sounds, liking the photos when you see them. And that is because, you know, the more photos, Instagram's whole design is the more likes on a photo, the more people that we can reach. And that goes with comments, comments as well. So that's the third point. And commenting. And commenting is something that we don't tend to do on a regular basis. But I'm going to challenge us to do that. And that's because it really shows the interaction of our community online. And when someone is looking at our website and they haven't been to our church yet, you know, they want to get an idea, you know, of who we are. And when we are interacting online, people will see that, okay, yeah, that's kind of who they are. That's how they talk, and that's how they communicate together, and that's how loving and caring they are and supportive of each other. So we really want to be able to convey that. So comment can be as simple as, oh, love this photo, or a beautiful photo, or love those people. It can be anything like that. It really doesn't matter, but anything really. And the fourth one is share. And this is sharing events. You know, we have our Facebook page, which is great. We are creating events. So for example, for Easter, sharing that event page onto your Facebook can reach your friends, can reach your coworkers, can reach strangers. And also on Instagram, there's Instagram stories. I don't know for those of you who haven't embarked on that yet, but it's awesome. And you can post photos of, you know, of the Easter logo, or of just really anything with church, just to allow people the opportunity to be able to know that we have a service and that they are welcome to come. So really, we are doing this because we want to be able to reach people, and we want to be able to show people the amazing community that we have through photos. And yeah, that's pretty much it. But I hope that we can really just, you know, kind of all do this together. You know, you'll see Jazzy going around with photos, and you know, if you want a photo, just jump in right there, and it's a great way to just show who we are as a community online to everyone else. So yeah.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, so from what you said, follow, like, oh wait, no, that's too many fingers. Follow, like, comment, and then share. Yeah, follow, like, comment, and share. Now, with that being said, I just want to bring up one thing that Liv touched on as well. It's Easter. Yeah, woo! Yeah, no, excitement. Come on, guys, Easter. So for Easter, which is going to be the 1st of April, right? We're going to have two identical services, just like we did on Christmas, but the times are slightly different. So the times here at 9:30 a.m. is going to be the first service, and the second service, which is also identical, is 11:30 a.m. We are going to have the kids' services still downstairs, and they are going to be identical services. If you want to attend both, you can, but they're going to be the exact same thing. Yeah, so if it's anything like Christmas, it's going to be awesome. And I know there's been a lot of plan that's been going on since like January. Like these guys have been planning since January, so you know it's going to be awesome. Yeah, also, so with all that being said, I'm going to introduce our teaching pastor. He's looking at me because I said something else earlier while we were practicing, so it was so funny. I'm going to introduce our teaching pastor, Ian, to come up here and just lead us into God's word. Thanks, Ian. I'm my team.
Solomon and I have he likes one football team and I like another one. And his football team beat my football team yesterday, so he likes to let me know that. Father, we just want to thank you so much for a time where we can be in community together. We can be here loving you, worshiping you in song, and we can also be here underneath your word, that you could speak something to each one of us. God, we're here this morning hungry to hear from you. And so we pray, Lord, as we're in Matthew chapter 6 this morning, speak loudly into each one of our lives. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Welcome. Okay, so this morning our reader is going to be Rumi. So there she is. She's coming up. And we were not sure if she was going to have to bring up Simon with her, but looks like he's given her the freedom to come up. Come on up here.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, so I am Rumiana Dimitrova, and I've been in this church for about 5 years with my family. Those two are my blessings from the Lord.
Amen.
Keep us busy. And what brought us in this church and what we were looking for is I've been a believer, or I dedicated my life to Jesus about 20 years ago. But what kept us here is the fact that we were looking for a common ground with the people around, and because we were all so different here, and the diversity in this church is something that we decided, oh, that's the common ground. Everybody's right. Different. but there is one challenge. Think about the fact that probably many of you feel different because we are all different, and maybe some of us feel lonely in this church. So to build up on the love that Jesus gave in our hearts, please take an effort to get out of your comfort zone and connect with the people that you sit next to.
Yeah.
Because I believe that many of us come and they still feel, do I belong here? I know I believe in Jesus, I love him, I want to serve him, but how I'm connecting with the body of Christ?
Right.
Yeah. Anyhow, so there is a long passage from the Bible that I have to read, bear with me. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving might be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others their fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put all your oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. This morning, our title for the message is Living from the Inside Out. When my kids were younger, we used to love to take videos of them. I don't have any videos here this morning. That's my son, Josh, and that's my daughter, Sarah. When they were much younger, we used to live very close to here. We used to live just behind the Bayview Village Mall in what's called the Bayview Mews. And one of my favorite videos that we captured was when Josh was riding around as he normally does on his bike, and Sarah was just learning how to ride her bike, and she'd finally got it. And so I was taking video of her, and then I, of course, just like a good dad, I would take video of my son. And she noticed, and every time I went to take a picture of my son or video of my son, she says, "Hey, Dad, take a picture of me." So I would come back and I would take a picture of her. And then after a little while, I would take a picture of Josh, and she'd say, "Hey, Dad, take a picture of me." And it just kind of reminds me of, the underlying thought in this message, and that is, don't we all kind of want attention? Is there anybody here who doesn't want attention? No, so one person. And that's the one who really does want attention, right?
No, don't believe it.
We just crave attention. I think we love that even from kids. And I think my daughter Sarah is just she just shows what's going on in most of our hearts. You know, even as parents, we do this. When somebody asks, "Oh, how are the kids?" "Great, yeah. My daughter's an accountant." True. Are you doing it for a little boast? Possibly. Drawing attention to yourself, possibly. Sometimes, of course, when we're working with the youth, you know, they come in with a really sad face. Oh, what's wrong? I only got a 94 on my exam. Really? Really? That's what you're sad about? What are you doing? What are you doing? You're drawing attention to yourself. And what I'm about to say does not nullify anything of what Olivia just mentioned about Facebook and Instagram, but sometimes we're craving people to just like my photo. And we have some, you know, some desperate issues that are going on in our society today. But, you know, and here's the problem. The problem is if you're constantly seeking attention, craving attention, it's like being a hamster on a wheel. And you're just going around and around. And the problem is, there's no way off. You just want more and more and more attention. And we're gonna really dig into this morning. We're gonna look at some very practical things. Our Christian life is a life that needs to be lived from the inside out. The problem with us is we are living in a world that is outward focused. It's all about the outside. And so we're going to see this morning how Jesus is going to help us to see how we should be living our lives as disciples. So think about this. There is something called heart righteousness. Can we just go to chapter 5, verse 20 for a second? This is not one of the verses we talked about, we read earlier. I tell you, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. I tell you that unless your righteousness, it's important to recognize that Jesus is saying, you disciples have a form of righteousness. There's something that you have. And look at this, he says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees. And actually, so what you're seeing here is we've got two kinds of righteousness. We've got a righteousness that the disciples have, and we've got a righteousness that the scribes and the Pharisees have. And so what our main point for this part here is, heart righteousness produces external acts of righteousness. And we'll get to it in a second. So I just want to differentiate between what is your righteousness and what is the scribes and Pharisees' righteousness. And it kind of goes like this. Your righteousness is something that has happened on the inside. It's an inner kind of righteousness, and it's there because you have received Jesus. And you have right standing before God. And what Jesus is saying to his disciples, what Jesus is saying to us this morning is, that is the place that you live out from. Are we clear so far? So another way of saying it is, you have a faith inside of you. Live out that faith. There's something inside. Draw from there to live out. This contrasts with what the scribes and the Pharisees had, because theirs was all outward, all show, all external. That's why when Rumi was reading, right? The blowing of trumpets, when I'm offering, those, it's all about show. Look at me. Look at me. I have a quote because I think this is helpful for us to show us that God is looking for something inside out. And it goes this way. The kind of righteousness demanded of a disciple of Jesus is of a deeper level than that practiced by the scribes and Pharisees, because it requires that one should be righteous inwardly as well as outwardly. And that's like saying both in attitude and in behavior. So this morning, our entire focus is Jesus has done something inside of us. And it's what he says is, that's your righteousness. That's your righteousness before God. Live out your life from there. Don't put on a show. Don't put on a show. So Jesus would say, I'm telling my disciples, if we go back to 5:20, I'm telling my disciples, live differently than the scribes and Pharisees who are all about making a show. Okay, so what are these external acts of righteousness. And as Rumi was reading, you heard things like give. You heard pray. You heard fast. And there are many, many other acts of righteousness. But another way of saying it is good deeds, good works. Works that come from your heart, that heart that has been transformed by God. That's what God is after. And those good deeds are towards God and towards other people. But our verses this morning started with a warning. Did you notice? Let's go to 6:1. Be careful. Do not practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And if we add to, can you add in verse 2 to that? Yeah. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. And here's what we're focusing on. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. So keep this in mind. If I do things in front of other people and I'm doing it for them, I do it for their applause. I do it for their attention. God is saying this to us. You got it. That's what you got. You were doing it for the applause, you got the applause. And here's the sad part. That's all you get. And here's the striking thing. God has so much more for you than that. And what you did by performing some kind of outward thing is you robbed yourself of the reward that God has for you. Why? Because it was not generated from the inside. It's generated by you. It's just an external thing that you're doing. So this is a very interesting warning that we get. Do not practice your righteousness in front of others. But can I, if you've been following along with us in this series, we just did chapter 5, verse 16, just a couple of weeks ago. Can I remind you what chapter 5, verse 16 said? In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. Do you see we've got a problem here? One is saying, I should not do my deeds in front of other people. And the other one is saying, you should do your deeds in front of other people. Okay, so now we have a contradiction in the Bible, right? No, we don't. Because look what it says. Be careful not to do your righteousness in front of others. What's the next part?
To be seen.
No, okay, we need pretty much everybody on board here. Okay, this is, I know Nigel's got it, which is good, but he prepared this message with me, so that doesn't count. Let's try this again. This is really critical to see this. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others.
To be seen by them.
See the motive? That's the motive, and that's what Jesus is getting at here. That's what you need to be careful of. And Jesus is shining a spotlight on our motives. Are you doing it for people's applause? You got it. You got the pat on the back. You got the attaboy. You got it. But look at, can we just, Autumn, can we go back to the other? Yeah, look at this. Look at verse 16 again. I'll read it in full. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and
glorify your Father.
Glorify your Father. So the first one, he's saying, be so careful about doing your acts of righteousness before other people because you're getting the glory. But if your motive is right and you're living from the inside out, from that inner righteousness that you have, I'm telling you, it's going to bring about a glory to God. And people will see him and they will not see you. You know, but I'm going to be really honest with you. I think most of us, you know, especially as disciples, as Christians, I think we struggle, honestly. I think we struggle with, I want to bring glory to God, and yet I think we also struggle with, I'd like a little attention too. Let me give you an example from just my experience. I mean, I've been speaking in front of people now for a number of decades, let's just say that. And you know, it's very, very interesting because on the one hand, my motive is, God, I want you to be glorified. I want to see people's lives get changed. I want to see them take more steps with you. But I would be a liar if I stood here this morning and I told you that was my only motive that I have at times. Sometimes the motives that I have are, I sure hope they like me. I sure hope they love what I have to say. And so many times, I stand here before you with mixed motives. So what should I do? Should I just sit down and get it all figured out and then come on up here? And that's not the way that life works. God says, I'm going to meet you right in that intersection with all the mixture that you're experiencing. And I'm going to, if you draw from me, draw from that inner righteousness, draw from that faith that's so deep within you, I will help you through that. Don't stop. Don't stop what you're doing. If you're struggling with, you know, this is about me, keep pressing inward. Keep pressing inward. Do you appreciate our musicians? I think we have amazing, honestly. I think we have amazing musicians. There's some of them. I never asked them, so I don't know this 100%. But if they're like me, and I think they are, I think they struggle with the same mixed motives. You think it's easy to stand here in front of people? It's not simple. And sometimes, you know, we get kind of used to it after a while, after, you know, the shine wears off, you know, and the nervousness kind of wears off at the beginning. You kind of think, oh, look at that. They really, really like me. They really, it can happen. It certainly can happen. So should we ask our musicians to stop playing? No. What we're asking our musicians to do is dive deeply. Dive deeply, connect deeply with the one who's within you and live out from there. Play from there. Sing from there. And who gets the glory? God gets the glory. God gets the glory. And it's exactly the same for your speakers. We're talking about a life that is lived from the inside out. We have so many people who help us here at CIT from week to week. Think about it. You've got our kids ministry teachers. You've got greeters. You have cafe servers. You've got ushers. You've got hosts. You've got youth leaders. You've got elders. And here's my question to you. Will you join me in praying for them? Amen. That they live out the life that's within them and guard them from just doing it by show. Just pray for them. And I would also say this. I think as parents and as students and as people who go to work, it is also good to pray that we live from the inside out. We work from the inside out. We parent from the inside out. Are you following me so far? And God gets the glory. It's not about whether I should do something or not. It's about the motive. David, is that clear? It's the motive, right? It's the motive that Jesus is talking about. So I'm gonna finish this morning with one of these acts of righteousness. Dell will share more on prayer next week. So I'm gonna talk about giving this morning. Giving is one of these acts of righteousness. And again, remember we're talking about I should give from the inside out. Yeah. Should give from the inside out. Okay. One of the things that's very, very interesting, Autumn, could you go to the 6:1-4 for me? One of the interesting things, did you notice what it says in verse 2 right at the very beginning? When you give. Giving is not optional. You know, sometimes we, as disciples, as followers of Jesus, we're like, yeah, if I give, it's okay. If I don't give, that's okay too. But as a disciple of Jesus, one who's learning to follow him, this is not optional. He didn't say, if you give, did he? What does he say? When. When you give. And you know, it's a very interesting thing. You know, if I were talking about a whole bunch of things, there'd be a lot of smiling faces right now, but I'm talking about giving. And everybody's like, ooh. Did he say that concerning you? Yeah, I did. Actually, you know what? Let me back it up. I didn't say it. I'm just reporting what your Savior said. He's your Lord, is he not? Amen. Isn't he the one who said, when you give?
Yes.
When you give, right? It's not if you give. It's not a suggestion. It's when you give. So you need to start asking yourself, do I give? But again, remember, we're talking about giving from the inside out. Not just giving because Ian has said, oh, I got to give. I got to look good. That's not what we're talking about. So he says, when you give. And notice again, he says, do it in secret. And of course, he uses, you know, some exaggerations. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Is that really possible? unless you're looking or something. No, it's not. It's just hyperbole. That's Jesus using a typical device, right? He's exaggerating. But the point is your motive. Do it with a secretive motive. Okay, you know, here's one thing I know about this congregation. No one is going to the offering box and blaring a trumpet. I've never, in all the years, I'm giving. Watch me give. Okay, no one's doing that. But sometimes maybe we're not blowing a trumpet, but maybe we are in our heart. And that's what Jesus is kind of getting at here. Just be careful. And I love this because he says, you know, if you give in secret, if you give in secret, you will be rewarded by God. Right? Okay, you blow your trumpet. Who gives you your reward?
People.
Is that what you want? Because again, you just lost what God has for you. And here's the crazy thing. You've got no idea what God has for you. Do you? Do you know what his reward is? Some of you think, oh my, the reward's not until heaven. Seriously. Nigel's going to talk about it next week. You don't have to wait that long. You have no idea what God's reward is. And you're saying, ah, it's okay. I'll take other people's applause. Why would you settle for that? That's what he's saying. Why would you settle? Why would you lower the bar and say, oh, I'm good enough with just people's applause and pat on the back? When God says, I have got something so rich for you, would you just follow that urging that you have from the inside? Giving is not inspirational. Oh, I feel really good today. I feel like the Lord is really stirring me up, so I should give. Okay, that's all right, no problem. But please don't wait for the inspiration. Because what happens when you don't have the inspiration? Then you don't give. So I want to show you a verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. No, yeah, actually, could you just go to another one? Just go to the other one, 9:7. We'll go there first. Thanks. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Oh my goodness. I should just like drop the microphone and walk off the stage because that is not what we think when it comes to giving. Look what it says. Give what you have decided to give, disciples. What have you decided? Look, what have you decided in your heart to give? Is it $5? Give $5. Be faithful to give $5. Is it $50? Is it more? The value doesn't matter. It's the heart. What have you decided to give in your heart? And we're asking you, we're appealing to you this morning, live from there. Live from there. We're not going to give you a budget. We're not going to tell you 10%. You want to start there? That's up to you. But please have an interaction with God. Fight and decide on something. Decide and do it. Amen? Yeah, he is talking about giving. It's tough, isn't it? It'd be so much easier when Dell talks about prayer next week. Because no one can check up, right? On those things. You know how we know how spiritual you are, and we're not checking. But if we checked your bank account, we might start to see how much you're following Jesus. Am I right? Oh, I know this hurts, right? It's like, I wish you would stop talking about giving and start talking about prayer, you know, something I can do and nobody can check up on me. And believe me, no one's checking up on you here. No one's saying, Steve is usually the one who takes care of finances and his dear wife, Selena. Have you ever received a phone call from them? Why are you not giving enough? Have you done that? Never. Right? It doesn't happen. No one's checking up on you. We're talking about something that's going on in your heart. We're asking you, please cooperate with what's going on in your heart and do it. That is what we're talking about. You know, let me get to the heart of why Jesus is asking us to give. It's not just about money. You know, our God is the most generous being in the universe. Do you understand that? Our God is so generous. Think about this. The very heart of what he has done, the very heart of the gospel is summed up in chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. That's the heart. You know, you want to know why we should give? We have a God who is so generous. And he's crying out to us, if you are connected to me, be as generous as I am generous. Give as I gave. Are you poor? Give out of that. Are you rich? Give out of that. We have a ridiculously generous God. He sent his own son to this earth to live a sinless life. And please don't think that was simple. He went to the cross and he bore all of our sins. He became poor so you and I could become rich. And not only did he go to the cross, die, and resurrect, he also sent his spirit to you, to live in you, to guide you, to comfort you every single second of the day. Our God is ridiculously generous. And he's saying to you and me, be generous. Be generous. Now, your generosity, you know, he's not just talking about, you know, money. He's saying here, give to the needy. And when he's saying give to the needy, that could be all kinds of things. Yes, it could be people who need money. But it also could be this. How many grandparents do we have in the room? Wow, we don't have that many. Okay. Grandparents, you have needy kids. And I don't mean the little ones. I mean the parents. You know, your sons and your daughters, and they're tired. Am I right, Laura? Sorry, I'm not saying that because I know you do. Sorry, I just saw Laura. And I know Nigel and Shirley take a lot of time, be with the grandkids. But that's a way of taking care of the needy. Don't you feel needy sometimes, Laura? Yeah. That's a way, right? Be generous with your time. You can be generous with your time. Some of us also know single moms. And we can help them out too. Be generous. Give to the needy. Support her with her kids. We have a lot of immigrant families here, and I so appreciate a number of couples in this room. You just keep opening up your home and welcoming people, and thank you. Thank you. And here's the good thing. I know that they don't do it to blow their own horn. They don't toot their own horn. They're just doing it because God is urging them from the inside. Please reach out to the needy people in your church. Brothers and sisters, friends, that's what God is asking us to do. There is a form of righteousness deep in our heart, and he's saying, all I'm asking you to do is live out from there. Don't put on any kind of a show. God is ridiculously generous. We're in relationship with him. And I think the challenge to us this morning is, can we be as generous as he is? Let me pray, and then we'll ask Solomon to come up. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, there are parts of this that we can take freely this morning, and we welcome that word. And God, this whole thought of giving is hard. It's hard because it really touches at the core of who we are. God, so I just pray that your grace would be with each one of us as we hear this word and as we receive this word, as we consider this word. God, I pray for many transactions with you. God, we would decide in our heart about our giving. We wouldn't do it for show. We would do it because you're urging us in our heart to give. You're urging us in our heart to pray. You're urging us in our hearts to do so many things for you. And we ask all of this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Ian. It's funny because I didn't grow up a Christian. So I've always kind of admired Christian. I was sharing this on Friday night. And when I was growing up and I see people who profess that they're Christians and then they leave and then they do whatever they want to do, I look at them and I say to them, if that's who you are, I don't want to be like that because it's too much work. But then when I finally meet people who are genuine believers, people who live from the inside out, then you say, wow, that's what I want. And that's very important. That's vital. So, I'm just going to move on from there. So this is our Connect team. If you want to connect with us, if you're new, you want to meet up with us, you want to meet up with anyone here, please just look for anyone wearing this orange lanyard. There you go, over there. And you can ask them anything, just anything to do with joining community groups or just any information in general. They'll be more than happy to help you. Just another note is that we do have a prayer room just behind us if you want us to pray with you. There's dedicated brothers and sisters there who are willing to pray with you. This is the end of our service. Okay, so thank you so much for coming. We hope to see you guys next week. And just remember that God loves you, and he loves you so much that he gave up his only son just for you. Thank you. Bye.